Hello, hello, and welcome today. Welcome to the Roadmap to Revenues. This is our weekly Wednesday training and live Q&A for ambitious entrepreneurs ready to scale from six to seven figures. And each week, I'll be diving into business training designed to up-level both you as the CEO of your business and also your results. I'm Sue Clement, your Think and Grow Like a Seven-Figure CEO mentor. I'm real excited to be here today because we're talking all about the three key elements for creating consistent growth. And, you know, roller coasters may be fun at the fair, but they suck when it comes to revenue. If you find that you're up one month and down the next and up the next and down, you know, you feel like you're on the triple loop of a roller coaster because your revenues, you seem to have a good stride. Things are going really well. You hit your 10K or 20K or whatever per month, and you think, oh, finally, I finally made it. And then the next month, it feels like the floor is falling out from underneath you. And certainly in our economy, certain things outside of ourselves can impact us. And all of a sudden, your sales have dropped, and you're like, ah, back to that grind again. And so that's what I'm going to share with you, some things you can do that will bring more consistent revenue growth and save you that burnout and that frustration. So if you're like most entrepreneurs, you've been on that revenue roller coaster at one point or another, and today I'm going to tell you how to get off of it and stay off of it, and I'm excited about that today. And so I mentioned I'm Sue Clement. I'm excited that you're listening in, whether it's live or whether you're listening to the replay later. That's awesome, too. You know, burnout from inconsistent growth can actually kill your business. It can be really frustrating. And we want to, you know, circumvent that really right to center, eradicate it from your business, because there are some things you can do. Yes, we have economy. Yes, we have outside influences. But ultimately, if you follow the steps I'm going to share with you today, you will be able to brace yourself against some of those things that are outside of your outside elements, outside of your control. So let's just hop in. If you are on the phone lines, I want to give you some rules of the road. You can press star 2 at any time, and that will raise a little hand on my dashboard, and I know you have a question. Or if you're on the webcast, you can actually, you know, post your questions right on the computer, type the questions in, and Megan, my assistant, will be moderating the webcast. And also, if you're on the chat, hey, let's talk about the chat. If you are listening in, say hello and introduce yourself. Tell us where you're listening in from and kind of have a dialogue there. Megan's going to manage that for me today. And so, Megan, I'll get you to say hello so we all know who you are.
Hi, everyone.
I do that every week. We have to practice that better, I think. Anyways, so Megan's managing our chat and our Q&As. So please, you know, if you have a question, log them in. And, after the training, we'll get right into the questions. And I'd love it if someone wants to come on the phone and chat with me, and we can actually have a little bit of a coaching session. That's way fun, too. And if you're kind of more shy and you want to just listen in, that's cool as well. So once again, I'm Sue Clement, your business acceleration expert. I'm passionate about helping entrepreneurs think bigger and grow more successful, profitable companies. I've been coaching for the last 20 years, and I've worked with over 170 different industries helping them grow. And what's real cool about that is that there's a lot to learn in business, and there's a lot of similarities from different industries, one industry to the other. And so I love being able to work with business owners from different industries, helping them grow. And, you know, whether you're B2B or B2C, there's a lot of similarities in business. Marketing is marketing, as I like to say, and that's really what I love to do, is helping you accelerate your growth. So let's jump into our consistent growth categories today. And, you know, we all know why we want consistent growth, and sometimes it's a mystery why we can't get it. And first of all, I want you to ask, I've got a couple questions for you. And so the first question as we jump into this topic is, you need to answer this question for yourself if you want to succeed in business. And that is, who are the clients you need to attract to get the growth? You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I want to double my revenues this month or next month or this year. And a lot of us come to that, you know, realization. You know, and maybe it's not double, maybe it's triple, maybe it's a 50% growth. It doesn't matter really what the number is. But if you want to grow your business, you say, oh, I want that. But the first question you really need to ask is, who are the clients that are going to buy from you? Who are the clients that need that? You know, whatever that is that you're selling. Where is the growth going to come from? You need to be clear about who you're servicing. And yes, I talk about ideal target client a lot, because it is the seed of marketing. And I know without fail, when I start working with a client, the clients that are fuzzy on this, the clients that don't have a real clear perspective about who their ideal target client is, those are the ones that have been struggling to have consistent growth. And the more clear you can get on that, the faster you will grow. Because not being clear on it will retard your growth. It will, you know, create those peaks and valleys in your business. You know, when we're trying to market to everyone, we tend to get no one. We dilute our marketing. And as a small business, you can't afford to dilute your marketing. You need to narrow it down so that you know exactly who you're trying to reach, because that way you can find the best marketing strategy to reach those people. Which really, when you think about it, it will save you a lot of effort, time, and money than trying to do all sorts of different marketing, throwing everything like spaghetti up against the wall, hoping something will stick. You know, that hope and pray kind of marketing strategy doesn't work. And the first step to being able to put that aside and not hope and pray anymore, but instead have a clearly defined marketing that's going to attract the right people consistently, is by knowing who it is you want to attract. You absolutely must narrow down to one type of ideal target client. Simplifies your marketing totally. And I know some businesses might say, well, I've got several, like I sell this product to these people and this service to those people. Well, for the purpose of growth, one of the things when I work with my clients is we start off and we think, one client, one offer. One client, one offer. Get that working. And then you can expand from there if you so choose. But really, when we want to accelerate our revenues quickly, it is breaking it down, one client, one offer. And so knowing who that one client is, you know, will be, the more specific you can get, the faster you'll accelerate your growth. And a lot of people are saying, oh, I'm afraid to pick. Like, if I pick this client, I will narrow it down too far. Well, frankly, I don't think you can narrow it down too far. You know, I haven't really ever come across a business that was so narrow that they were hurting themselves. Because I think our inclination is obviously to be more inclusive of people. But the challenge is, the more inclusive you are of people, the actual, you know, you need to be more excluding of people. Because when we're too inclusive, then we kind of whitewash our offer down to try and solve and serve everybody. So people really don't know who you serve or what problems you solve, because you're making it too general, too broad. And instead of really including more people, you're basically losing out. So you have to focus, attract, you know, one type of client, one ideal client prospect, one big problem that you're solving. If you know the one big problem that you're solving, it's easier for you to go out and talk about it. It's easier for you to put all your marketing around that, all your content marketing. You're speaking to the problem that one client has. One big problem, one client, and then one offer that's going to solve that. When you get those three things in alignment, that accelerates your revenue growth, and it really simplifies it. This is the thing is, you know, sometimes we feel like we're spinning our wheels, we're doing all sorts of things, trying to grow our business, and really, we're making it harder for ourselves. But if we simplify it, one client, one offer, we bring it down to that smallest denomination of who it is you're trying to sell to, what problems do they have that you can serve them with, that you can solve for them. When you get it down to that simplified, your marketing gets way easier, because you can start excluding, just like you're excluding a lot of people you don't want to work with, you begin to exclude a lot of marketing that's not working for you. And by doing that, you'll be able to invest your time and your efforts and your money and be able to create a more clearly defined, consistent growth of marketing your business. So don't be afraid to exclude people. I think always, the more people you exclude, the more inclusive you are to the right people. And when we become to be more inclusive to the right people, they start looking for you because they now know who you are. They now can find you because you're that specific. So you must be specific at this one type of client. So the question I want you to answer, jot this down. This is a writer downer. Jot it down and, you know, work on this. Spend some time to work on it. And don't be fuzzy with it. And don't be vague and don't be broad. Who are the clients you need to reach to, you know, who are the clients you need to reach to attract to be able to hit that growth goal? Who are they specifically? You know, narrow it down. They can't just all be small business owners. That's too broad. What type of small business owners? What's unique about them? What characteristics do they have? You actually need to do the work on this. And I know it's not pretty and it's not sexy and it's not easy, but this is a big question that you need to answer. So that's question number one. And if you have any comments, throw them in the chat. That'd be kind of cool to hear that. And, of course, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to post them in there, and we'll be cycling back and getting to the questions in a short bit of time after we finish the next points. Okay, question number two. Are you ready for it? Drum roll here. Now, I know some of these may kind of like, ooh, seem very simplistic, but they actually will make the hugest impact. It's funny, you know, I love cooking. And, you know, we don't need a whole lot of spice sometimes. If you put, you know, we just need the right spice, the right amount. And I really find that these questions are the right spice for you to think about in your business. So question number two is simply this. How many clients do you need? Now, that's pretty simple. How many clients do you need to hit your growth goal? If you say you want to go from X to Y, how many clients is that? Have you ever done the reverse engineer of the math? Remember, I'm talking all about consistent growth and simplification. And this is a huge eye-opener because this also will change the way you think about your marketing, which will also change the results of your marketing. So how many clients do you actually need? How many leads do you need to get those number of clients? That's kind of question 2A, 2A and 2B. So we need to know how many clients and then how many leads. And so to know how many leads, we need to know how many what our close ratio is. If you close 1 in 5 or 1 in 3 or 1 in 10, that makes a difference for how many leads you need. And when we start thinking of our marketing rather than just, oh, I'm going to go market myself, or I'm going to go do social media, or I'm going to go speak, or I'm going to go blog, or I'm going to videos or podcasts or whatever, instead of looking at it from that perspective, we'll turn it around to think, how many leads do I need? And then what marketing will bring the right number of leads in? That's why we need to do this math. The other reason, too, is that when we understand how many leads and how many clients we need for the revenue goals, it also can impact or bias the way you price your services. You might be looking at this and saying, okay, that's interesting. If I need to get 89 clients, holy cow, that's too many. Maybe my pricing should be reevaluated. Maybe my offer should be reevaluated. So this is where we begin to align your services more specifically so that you actually make it doable, that you make it marketable. So, and I love this because sometimes this really is like an easy moment. It makes it so simple for us. So let me give you a couple examples if you're kind of pondering on this one. So let's say you wanted to add 10K more per month. Good topic. Good number. You're making 10, you want to add another 10, double your revenues. Is it possible? Absolutely. So think about that. Is that one client at 10K? Or is it three clients at $3,333? Or is it five clients at 2K? Or is it 10 clients at 1K each? See, that makes a difference. Now, if you want to grow by 10K and your current rate is your package, your, you know, the package, your program that you're selling is your average client value is 5K, well, that's only two clients. So all you have to do is create marketing that's going to get you two clients. And once you know your sales close ratio, you know how many leads you'll need. And doesn't it sound so much better to think, oh, well, let's say I only close 1 in 5 or even 1 in 10. 1 in 10 and I need two clients, I need 20 leads. So I just need to have connections with 20 people. Or maybe I can close 1 in 5. Well, gosh, if that's the case, that I only need 10 people. That's only 2.5 people or 2.25 people a week. So it really makes your marketing seem different. It takes it from being vague of, oh, I need to go market to get lots of leads, to saying, I only need one client this month, or I need 2 clients this month, or 5 clients this month. That's 1 client a week and a little bit. 1.25 client a week. There you go. But when we think of it from that perspective, I think it opens up your marketing totally different. And I get really excited about that. You know, when I start working with clients and, you know, they're all focused on what marketing should I do and where do I go get clients, it's like, well, how many clients do you need? And very few of them actually have ever thought of it that way. And when we begin to think of it that way, it does simplify the process. It makes it easier for you to go find them. Now, once we know how many you need and you break it down, it seems more doable. It's not a big problem anymore. It's not like, oh, I got to go market. I got to go get clients. You only need 1 or 5. It really should resonate differently for you. It simplifies what you do, and it also will give you some better ideas about where and how to go do that. Knowing this number will keep you grounded. It will, you know, kind of lead you to a simple answer, and it also keeps your marketing realistic. You don't need to do a whole lot of crazy marketing tactics. You can dial in on specifically what marketing you're going to be doing. You know, so think right now. Jot this down. This is another writer downer. Jot down right now, what revenue growth goal do you want to have? Right? How much do you want? How much more money do you want to make? Let's simplify the language there. How much more money do you want to make next month? And then think about what you're selling, what's the price of it, and how many clients is that going to be? And once you know how many clients you need to get, then you can look at how many leads do you need to have to close that many of clients. And this will make it easier for you to tackle that growth. And it will also give you, as a side benefit, an eye-opener on whether you have capacity. Because I've also had people say, oh, you know, I want to get, you know, this number of dollars. And I'm going, well, how many clients? And once again, if it's so many clients, they don't have the capacity to serve them. And when it's a capacity issue, then it's a pricing issue and a packaging issue. And it's like, okay, you've got to do things different. Or it's a system issue in the sense of your business. Maybe you need to bring on help. You know, maybe you need to bring on another coach or another consultant or another, you know, service provider. So this is where you begin to look at your business different. I've had people come to me and they want to have this growth. And when we realize the growth that they want is not attainable because they don't have the infrastructure of their business put together such that they could ever handle that much growth. If those clients showed up tomorrow, they couldn't even do the business. So all this time you're out there trying to get these clients that you can't even manage, now that's a different problem. But if you don't know how many you need, you'll never get there. You'll never really truly get there. And it also gives you some ideas because we talk about leads and then we talk about conversions to clients. It also gives you an opportunity to say, well, gee, if I can improve my conversion rate, if I can improve my conversion rate, then I'll need less leads. Or I need the same amount of leads. If I improve my conversion rate, I'll have way more revenue. So it's all a formula we can work up and down, as I say, break it up and break it back down to recognize what do we need to actually attain with our marketing. This helps you put feet on your marketing. This, you begin to understand what marketing you actually need to do. And it also makes a difference then about what type of marketing you may choose to do, because there's dozens of ways to market your services. But if you only need one, then that's a different problem than if you need 100. So you can think about how what marketing would work best for you. You know, I know a lot of people, they hear a webinar or a podcast about the newest this or that marketing thing, and they run off and they go off and do it, and it's like, but that marketing strategy isn't really even suitable for the type of people you're trying to reach. You know, selling $100 client is different than selling a $10,000 different client. So the way your sales process has to be different. The way people convert, whether they're buying a $100 thing or a $10,000 thing, they're going to buy differently. And so knowing that will help you change and shift your marketing and your sales process. So number 2 question was, once again, how many clients do you need to hit that revenue growth goal, and how many leads would it take to get that number of clients? Think about that. Write it down. Do the math. It will save you in the end run about your marketing. Whew, I'm going to take a sip of water. Megan, this is your chance to look at the Q, not the Q&A yet, we're saving that for a little bit, but to look at the chat, is there anything I should hear about?
Well, there's a question, but we can get into that later on.
Okay. All right. Still sipping water here. All righty. So, number three. Now that we know who it is we're trying to reach and we know how many, now it's time to start thinking about your marketing. You know, now it's time to start thinking about what are the right tools and tactics. Without, you know, now that you know what you're trying to achieve, you can pick the right ones that are most likely. What's the best path? What's the best tactics? What's the best methods that you'll need to cross that goal finish line? But, you know, what's the quickest and easiest way to get the greatest possibility of success? So this will streamline the amount of effort and time and money you put into your marketing and sales, because now you can do it from an informed position. You know, there's a lot of different ways we can market ourselves, but until we get clear, we're really almost wasting our efforts. We're wasting our time. You know, what's the best path of it? You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to double my revenue. But if you're not clear about who you're targeting or how you're going to reach them, you're wasting your effort. You know, the clearer you get, the more strategic you can be, and the more likely you'll be successful. So when we think about marketing, then it's really making sure that our marketing is in alignment with our goal. And our goal, just not in the sense of how much money we'll make, but in the sense of how many clients is that, and who are those clients? Who are those people? Then we can start marketing to the right people rather than trying to market to the masses, which so much of marketing is based around. So many people just market to the masses and hope that the right people show up. And I got to tell you, that's an expensive, both in time and money, way to market your services. You know, time is money. And so if it takes you a longer time to get a client because you're so kind of immersed in trying to sell to anybody, you're going to really slow down your growth. But when we, you know, when we actually can figure out who it is and we begin to build a system for lead gen, a system to market our services, and yes, system is a really important word to put here, when we start doing that, we begin to be more consistent. You know, the whole goal of this conversation is, how can we consistently grow our business? Well, these three things will make the difference. Knowing who, knowing how many, and then figuring out what's the best method for you. You know, haphazard marketing is going to give you haphazard results. And so instead of jumping around to flavor of the day, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, you wear yourself out. Some work, so you have a bump. And then flavor of the month next month doesn't work, so you have a bump down. And you get that feast-famine cycle happening around and around and around. So stop doing that, all right? You want to build a system, and part of the system is to create a process. So are you using social media marketing? And if so, great. How many outreaches do you need to do? How many conversations do you need to have? How many phone calls do you want to hop on? You know, if you're selling a high-end product, a $10,000 product, people are not going to click and buy it usually. It's going to take a conversation. If you're selling a $100 thing, well, that is a click and buy type of purchase. So you have to begin to craft your marketing around that. And if you build your process, if you create your process, then you can have repeatable success. But once again, here's another kind of funny thing. Is having a process is not enough. We also need to have implementation. You know, I talked a little bit about this last week, is implementation. You must be a master at implementation. If you don't implement, you're not going to get the results. And so part of that implementation is having the process, being decisive, and then going and doing the work. That's part of it. That's the unfortunate part of it, I guess. But that's the result that we need to do. Okay, so let's do a recap on our training today. Understand specifically who you're trying to reach. It makes it easier for you to find them, and it's easier for them to find you. Have a realistic number of clients to hit your goal and how many leads that would be. The more specific you are, the easier it will be to know how to do that. And number three was, now go choose the marketing method that's going to fit for both you, your style, your business, your product or service you're selling, your ideal target client, you know, and finding that marketing that's going to yield enough leads and then being able to convert those leads into enough sales. And when you strip it down and kind of do the numbers and keep it simple, and remember, as kind of a sidebar note, one offer, one client, and if you have that in alignment with one marketing strategy, it makes it so much easier, and you will accelerate your path to getting more business. Build a repeatable system, tweak it, fine-tune it, have the process, get into implementation, and move your business forward. And that's how you'll create that consistent revenue growth. And, you know, for those of you who are interested in having more revenue growth and want some help in building the system and the process and then holding your feet to the fire for implementation, I want to share with you a cool thing I've got coming up, and that is my Revenue Accelerator Program. I'm calling it my 3.0. It's actually the third generation of a program that I've done over the several past years, and it's all about how to increase your revenues as quick as you can. The intent is I want people who are coming prepared to play hard at it and double their revenue in the next 90 days. So if that's something you might be interested in, you know, just either put in the comments or put in the Q&A your name and your phone number, and we'll hop on the phone and have a chat later on. Or, of course, you can reach out to me on social media. It's probably where you saw this, or on my email list. If you're listening after the fact, the chat box won't be open or the Q&A box won't be open, but you can just message me directly and let's hop on the phone and talk more about the program. I don't want to go into details here today, but really, if you are serious about growing your revenues, get help. And this program is a hand-holding way for you to figure out who and how and get out there and get it done. All right, so I'm going to drink some more water now that we finished that bit of training, and let's open the phone lines to some Q&A. So I guess this is your cue, Megan. Give you a little heads up warning. So Megan, you mentioned we got some questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to start with the one in the chat.
Okay.
Susan today, she wants to know, how do I know if I've narrowed down my target audience enough?
Wow. Well, it depends. I don't know how far you've gone. So that's a really good question, but it's tough. Susan, can you come on the phone line? Can you plug in a headset on your computer and talk to me? Can we do that? Is that possible?
No, she hasn't responded yet.
It takes about 20 seconds for the Q&A to pop in. Because I would love to answer that question. It just makes it more relevant if I could have more details. So let me go to the chat because you said it's there. So how do you know if you've narrowed down your target audience enough? Susan, don't be shy. Come on the call if you can. And maybe, Megan, if you want to put in the chat the phone number so people can dial in if they wanted to.
Can do.
Yeah, that'd be super. That'd be no microphone. Okay, Susan, I see you say no microphone, but if you have a phone call, if you have a phone, you can dial in. So I'll just start talking away, and maybe you can even type your thing. So what type of business do you have? Let's start with that. This is all on chat. So much fun. What type of business do you have? I know there's a delay in the conversation there. So I'll just talk generically because I'm trying to make it relevant for everyone. Chances are most people don't narrow it down too far. As I mentioned, I don't really ever come across anyone who's made it too obscure that they're narrowing it down. The idea with narrowing your target market down is you want to make it so that they're identifiable to you. And so saying something like, I coach or I serve small business owners, well, what type of small business owners? You want to be able to really kind of understand, like, are they family-owned small business owners, or are they small business owners in a specific industry? So those types of, you know, parameters are important. The other side, too, to that is, like, when you say, I want to serve small business owners, what problems? Small business owners with this type of problem. So you'll know when you narrow it down enough that when the right people, when your ideal clients are actually the ones that start responding to your marketing. when you have it specific and narrow, people will identify with you and go, oh, my God, that's me. I have that problem. I want that solution. And they'll be stepping into it. You'll find that people begin to come to you. If you're putting out your content marketing out there, and that content marketing, the easiest way, of course, is through social media posts and blogs and articles and podcasts and master classes and webinars and, you know, anytime you talk, but, you know, I'm not talker right, but, you know, anytime you put your message out there, if you find that you're putting your message out there and people are drawn to it and reacting to it, then you're narrow enough. If you put a message out there and you're hearing crickets, chances are it's too broad and too vague, and it's not serving a narrow enough population that they think, oh my gosh, that's me, she's the one, I have that problem, I want that solution, I'm coming, and they come towards you. So that's kind of the easiest way to kind of react to it, is what is the reaction of the marketplace? Is it reacting to your message? If it is, great, your message is on track and it's specific enough. If they aren't...
Content marketing, the easiest way, of course, is through social media posts.
Oh, we've got my own feedback here happening.
And podcasts.
Hang on a second. We need to mute some people down.
No, I'm not talking right, but, you know, anytime you put your...
There we go. Someone was listening on the broadcast. That made it bad. But anyway, so that would be my short answer for you, Susan. I hope that made sense. If you want to just drop in the chat if it did or didn't. And for everyone else, that's the whole point, is if you have a clear message, if you have it clear and succinct and it's targeted at a specific person and you're talking about that specific person, if they're reacting to you, you're on track. If they're not reacting to you, you're too broad. So that kind of answers that question in a roundabout way. There was some of those I was going to put. It's almost like I used to use this metaphor a long time ago, and I forgot about it, and I just started using it again recently. You know, dog whistles, you know, you blow them. The average person people can't hear the dog whistle when you blow it, but the dogs can hear it. And that's what you're looking for. Your marketing message needs to be that dog whistle, that the whole world doesn't hear it, but the dogs do. Not that your clients are dogs, but, you know, your clients do hear it. So think of it from that point of view. Are you getting people, I call them head snaps, are people turning their head and going, oh, my God, you know, I need that, I want that. If they are, then you're on track. If you're not, then you're probably not narrow enough.
It's distinct and it's targeted at a specific person and you're talking.
We keep getting this feedback on our line today. Okay, let me just go, and I see in the chat Susan answered, graphic designer, but I feel like I attract too many people who complain about my rates even though I'm happy with the prices. Okay, so I'm assuming they're complaining your rates are too high. That's usually what people complain about. Then you're marketing to the wrong audience. That's the other piece of it. If you're attracting, lower-end clients who want lower services, lower-priced services, then you need to up-level your marketing and who you speak to. That's another market mismatch that many of us have, is when we, you know, if we talk about low-end problems, we'll attract low-end people. But if we talk about higher-end problems, we'll get higher-end clients. And this is the thing, a lot of people, they think, well, I can just go out there and double my rates. Well, yeah, you can have a big rate increase. You can change your rate significantly. But if you do that, you also need to change who you market to and what your marketing message is saying, how you're really presenting yourself. So you can't just go and change your tune and sing it to the same crowd and think that they're going to love that music. It's like, you know, if you're a rock person and you suddenly start singing country and western, well, the rock people won't relate to you. So you need to go find the country music fans, and then they'll like that new tune. Pricing's the same way. So if you change your pricing significantly, you need to also make sure you change the way you market and how you market to. So, for example, you know, if your marketing is aimed at, you know, helping people who are struggling and in startup mode, you're going to probably attract the people who don't have much money because they're struggling and they're in startup mode. So you watch the way you word your marketing. And that's really a significant thing, is you have to come out with a different voice to attract those other people. So, Susan, I hope that helped. And I hope, you know, if anyone else in the call, you know, jump in on the chat and chime in and say, you know, whether you're with it or, you know, whether you have any other questions around that. Okay, so thanks, Susan. I appreciate that, and I hope that answered it. And if there's a follow-up question, type it in, okay? And I'm going to flip it back to Megan to say, well, I want to say this, anyone on the phone or on the broadcast, you can press star 2, and I will see that you have a question. Let me go back to my dashboard, star 2, and you can raise your question. I see we've got a few people on the line. If you want to have a question, star 2. Come on, guys, don't be shy. I'd love to get on the phone and hear somebody talk to me, and we can have a mini coaching session. All right, so while you're thinking about pressing star 2, I should refresh my screen maybe here too, make sure I'm not missing anybody. Megan, what's the next question?
Okay, yeah, so I'll move on to the pre-submitted questions then. So I have one from Jennifer, and she says, I find it really difficult to find prospects that actually want my help. What am I doing wrong?
You know, that's kind of a shade of what we somewhat talked to. If you can't find prospects that want your help, a couple of things could happen. You know, it always kind of boils down to the market, wrong message. Is it the right message for the right market? In other words, if you're, you know, putting your message in front of the wrong people, they're not going to raise their hand. They're not going to say, I want that. So you have to be aware that there's an alignment between what you're saying, what you're talking about, how you're positioning your service and positioning your offer needs to be in front of the right people. And if it's not in front of the right people, then they're not going to be attracted to what you have. That's one issue. The other issue could be is that your marketing messaging isn't on sync. You know, maybe you are in front of the right people, but your messaging isn't clear enough or juicy enough. You're not talking about the problems that you solve and the benefits people would get from working with you. You're not sharing enough of your expertise. You need to share expertise for people to, you know, buy into the thought that this person could help me. So for Jennifer, it really, and for all of us actually, that's always kind of a dilemma. When I work with clients, that tends to be an issue that many struggle with is getting the right message for the right market. And when we line that up, I have to tell you this, when we line that up and we're actually, you know, saying the right words to the right market, business just, you know, accelerates so quickly because then people go, oh, they identify you. You're visible in the marketplace. They can see you. They identify with you. They want you. And you'll have business coming to you. That's the attraction-based marketing that we all want. But it's really about making sure our marketing message is on sync. It is, you know, on sync in the sense that we're describing it well enough. A lot of people, when we talk about our services, we tend to sell the process instead of the result. And that's another mistake that can be off-putting to your prospects, is if you talk about, you know, it's so many phone calls or so many minutes or so many this, that, and whatever, people don't buy the process. They don't buy what you do. They buy what they get. And so it's really important that you're positioning your services in the sense of this big, fabulous outcome that your ideal client would want. So it could just be a marketing messaging issue. It could be a pricing issue, or it could be who you're talking to. So, Jennifer, there's lots of things to contemplate on that. And for all of us, if you're not attracting enough clients, begin to think of it from those perspectives. And we go back and you kind of go back and do the work, you know, listen to this recording again, like, you know, who's your client? How many do you need? And then, you know, what do I need to say to get in front of those people? All right, so I hope that helped. And once again, I'll go back and see if anyone else has a question. Star 2, if you're on the phone lines or on the web call, I see there's a few of you. You're not raising your hands yet. Please join me. All right, Megan, what's the next question?
Okay, I have a question from Kyle, and he wants to know, what is the best lead gen strategy?
Wow. Okay, that also is a great question. However, it depends on your business and what you're selling and what price point. But I'm going to give you some general advice on this one. So, you know, I know this is all kind of hypothetical without having a real dialogue. But when we think about the best lead gen strategy, I mean, I could be facetious and say, well, the one that works. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. The best lead gen strategy, it needs to be in alignment with what you're selling and who you're selling it to. And in some case, it could be Facebook ads or it could be SEO. Like I think of the different clients that I've had, You know, for some of them, it is social media marketing, and that's actually one of the things that I think has been working incredibly well. You know, networking is kind of an older version of that. We can now network on social media and not just network to make friends, but actually network to get revenue, network to get clients out of it. So social media marketing will work. I have a different client, and for him, SEO is the best way for him to go. You know, pay-per-click, that is his, you know, he sells to consumers, and boy, he makes a whack of cash because, you know, we know that when we fine-tune his pay-per-click, Google AdWords, he makes a ton of money. He doesn't lack for clients. Now, that won't work for every business. So we have to think of who it is you're trying to reach, you know, the sophistication of the buyer. Are they consumers or are they business owners? And then look at it from that point of view. And also you have to factor in yourself. What are you like? But, you know, Facebook Lives are a huge way to get visibility in the marketplace. But you, once again, like all of these things, you need to do them the right way. You need to finesse them so that you are actually getting better outcomes of it. But contemplate who's your client, what's the price point, and ultimately you want to hang out where they hang out. So, you know, once again, with the pay-per-click guy, you know, people are going to Google and they're searching for what he has. So that really works for him. Maybe, you know, if you're a business coach, going, you know, pay-per-click is not going to really do it, perhaps. There you need to showcase your expertise. So you might want to have a great social media presence. And even what social media channel you pick, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn, it would depend upon the nature of the business, of the client that you're trying to attract. So because they hang out in different places. So you want to hang out where your prospects go. So where do they go to find your services and then be visible there? And showcase your expertise. People need to understand that you can actually solve the problem for them. You can actually, you have the right tools, the right systems, the right process, the right program, the resources, whatever you're selling, that you've got the right thing that's going to help them and then they'll find you. So that's kind of the lead gen strategy without having more specific information about the nature of the business. Those are some things to contemplate for everyone listening in live or after the call and the replay is think about your business and kind of think, are you using the right strategies that getting the right people? And if not, try different things. And, you know, it has to be in alignment with you. If you're not a speaker, you're not going to go, you know, stand on stages and get booked as speakers, although stages in this world are probably gone for a while, but you know, you're not necessarily going to be speaking. Maybe you'd rather be writing. You could blog. You could article market. You know, you email market. All of those things will work, but they work differently for different people in different industries. Okay, I'm going to drink some more water, Megan. That's your heads up.
Okay, perfect. I was just adding the phone number to the chat in case anybody else or anybody wants to call in. And, okay, moving on to the next question. Okay, so Monica wants to know, says she is a new life coach. How much per hour should she be charging?
Okay, all right. So first of all, don't charge by the hour. You will limit your revenue stream if you charge by the hour. Charge by the value. You know, value-based pricing will open up avenues for you to greatly increase your revenues. You know, people, if you get people thinking about buying minutes, then you're always stuck in minutes and you're actually pushing yourself into a commodity-based business. And people will think of it that way. And life coaching is not a commodity-based business. I mean, what value? And also the point I'd make on this is a new life coach, okay, great. But a life coach... a life coach. Well, what type of life coach? Are you a mindset coach? Are you a relationship coach? I mean, like, you know, what type of life, that sounds funny, but what type of life do you want to serve, you know? So I'd say stop calling yourself a life coach and figure out, you know, what you have. I mean, I know people that I might call, I might think of them or throw them in the category of life coaches, but they're making, you know, seven-figure businesses because they have positioned themselves not as a life coach. They have positioned themselves, you know, as a spiritual coach or, a doubt coach, or, you know, how to get past worry. I mean, they some of the businesses, I kind of go, wow, that's a simplistic thing, but they've made, you know, multi six-figure businesses wrapped around life coaching, not because they call it life coaching, but because they actually talk about the problem that they solve. They put out their shingle in the sense that people really see the passion of it. So, first of all, in the sense if you want to charge more, you need to solve a bigger problem. You know, if you want to have that six-figure business, you need to have a six-figure problem that you're going to solve for people, and people will pay for that. And so don't charge by the hour, charge by the value. And I can't even throw out a number because I don't know the nature of the industry or the nature, like what type of life coach, but think about what problem are you solving. Is it a little problem or is it a big problem? What's the value to that person? You know, when we think about life coaching, we're talking about people's lives and about, you know, them overcoming some of their limiting beliefs. You know, and those things can have huge impacts. And they're always, you know, might think, well, like, how can I put a dollar value? You know, a business coach will, people make more money, you know, and we can put a dollar value. They can put a dollar value. I'm going to increase my revenues by, you know, $50,000 this year. Okay, so I'll pay 10 to get 50 back, right? I'll pay 10,000, I'll invest $10,000 in the program because I know I'm going to get 50,000. That's numbers. But people with life issues, it's kind of like, well, how do we measure that? But there is. We can always break down a dollar value to some of our measurements. We might say, well, okay, I have bring more harmony in the family. Well, what's the cost of conflict in your relationships? And when you think about the cost of conflict in your relationship, well, you know, you're less productive at work. You're not going to go for the promotions that you want to go for because you're so conflicted at home. I mean, we can actually, you can work through that. And when you begin to realize the impact that you're having as a life coach on people, and this goes for everything, like, you know, whether you're offering, you know, other services, personal services or business services, you know, when you start to think about the impact of that, that's when you can really expand your pricing. And that's, and you should bring that to your pricing. It isn't just about the minutes. It's really about, it's really more about what you're actually creating for people. So, you know, I see, Danielle, I'm going to call you out because I see you on the phone and I talked to you just the other day or today. You know, does videos. Well, what's the impact of a video on a business? There is a way of measuring that. So when we measure that, that's how you could position your pricing. So it's value-based pricing. So I hope I helped Monica with that answer and everyone else. All right, so let's go into, Danielle, I called you out. Do you have a question for me? Press star 2, come talk to me. Are you there? Or Elizabeth, I see you on the line. I see Bobby's on the line. Come on, guys. Don't be shy. Press star 2 and talk to me. And if not, hang on. We got a hand. Thank you. I shamed you into it. I appreciate that. Come on to the line. I'm unmuting you. Hi, Danielle. We can all hear you now.
Yay. I've been trying to figure out. I came in late, so I've been trying to figure out how to how to raise my hand.
There you go.
I listen, still, by the way, with that previous question, I'm still struggling with the, you know, right price to pay, too. So we're all struggling with that. So I don't want her to feel like she's alone in that. And I've been in business for 15 years, and I'm still trying to figure out what's the right price.
And I know you've moved that needle quite a bit.
Oh, have I ever?
Yeah.
Have I ever? But it goes to everything else that you've been saying in this call. It goes to making sure that I'm talking to the right people. And once you helped me talk to the right people, I started getting, you know, sales that blew my head off. So, now here's my question for you.
Okay.
I'm talking to a different people now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting different projects now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also getting different, they want to work with me differently than I'm used to working with my other clients. There's different demands. There's different work requirements, and I feel like I've kind of lost my own boundaries and don't quite know how to. Yeah, I have one client now that's a new one that, you know, she's demanding things at Saturday night for delivery Sunday morning, and I've kind of lost my whole control. So I wonder if you could help with that subject a little bit.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And, you know, Danielle, I love that you recognize that you've up-leveled your rates and up-leveled your clientele. That's real cool. That's exciting. Because it shows for other people listening in that, you know, I made the comment, you can make way more money than you think is possible, and it's easier than you think is possible. And I really want to hold that true. And you're showing that yourself, Danielle. That's really cool. I'm excited for your growth. But here's the thing is, it all comes down to, and it doesn't matter whether you have new clients or old clients or whatever, it comes down to the boundaries. You get to set how you will work and when you will work. So when you have a client, you set the path and they will follow. And so if you find that clients are taking advantage of you, it's chances are you've not communicated how you want them to work with you. And if you don't set boundaries and just kind of, sometimes we do that when we're kind of shy. We think, oh, if I say no, I'll lose them. But here's the thing is when you say no, you'll keep them. I can give you a quick story of this. This is, and I learned this myself, when I had my employment agency, for those who are new to the call and don't know me, my previous business before I started coaching 20 years ago, but my previous business was an employment agency that I grew from startup to a multimillion-dollar company, and then I sold it. And in those earlier years, I remember that I had one client. We had a pager, and our clients could page us 24/7, but we really didn't think 24/7. I mean, we might have said it, but our clients could page us and order workers at any time. And we had one particular client that ran 24-hour services. They had three shifts. It was a manufacturing company. And, you know, when they phoned us, they paged us at like 1:30 a.m., and they wanted two people ASAP, like right now. Well, there I am in my kitchen in my pajamas phoning people, waking them up and saying, can you go to work now? And it was, and we did it. And this is the thing. We filled the order. They had, and for this particular client, if they didn't have enough people on the line, they couldn't run the line. And so, like, the whole manufacturing of that one line would be down that night, and it would be lost revenue for them, obviously. So we jumped through flaming hoops and we filled it. And the client loved us, and they were so grateful for us because we kept the line running. Well, what happened is once we did it once, they kept doing it. And my staff, you know, I carried the pager now and again, but my staff who had the pager all the time, they weren't too keen on this. And neither were the people that were phoning at 2 in the morning, waking them up and saying, can you go to work right now? Because obviously a lot of people said no, and so you had to make a lot of phone calls. And so, you know, there was an unreasonable request, and we filled it once. Our good, but that's also our bad. Because we filled it once, they expected it all the time. And so we just needed to set the parameter. So I had to go back and have a tough conversation with them to say what was reasonable and what was not. And so maybe for you, Danielle, it's the same thing. Is this woman expecting, you know, something done one night and delivered the next day? That's not necessarily reasonable. You might not mind doing it, you know, for an emergency or for something special, you know, to save her day. Absolutely. It can't be all the time. And so, you know, what happened with me and with my employment agency was that the client thought we jumped through flaming hoops and thought we are miracle workers, but after a while they forgot how much of a miracle that was. And so your clients will begin to take you for granted if you don't set the boundaries.
Okay. I guess I need to, she and I are getting started on another project, so maybe I set the boundaries right away, or maybe I...
Set them right away.
Okay.
Set them before you need them. And see, you never really maybe expected that you'd want this type of quick service. And
yeah.
So, you know, so you didn't think that you needed that boundary to set. Well, now you now know. And for this client, for every other client, it's like repertoire building. We build our repertoire as we go. You know, I still, some days I shake my head and go, well, that's a new one. No one's asked me that before. Oh, well, you know, we'll learn for the next time. And we'd add to our repertoire every time. So, you know, when you talk about the delivery, the speed of the delivery of your work, you know, you set the boundary of what's reasonable expectation, what's acceptable. And if they do have this, you know, overnight immediate thing happening, they have to maybe understand that, you know, you might do it as a favor, or maybe you might say, well, I can do that, but if you want that type of rapid service, it's going to be at a premium charge. and the price is. So they can make the decision whether they want it or not, and you can make the decision of whether you can comply or not. But at least you'll be getting the revenue stream for it if you choose to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, it's easy to, you know, I say it's easy, but it isn't. I know it's challenging at first. I use this example a lot. When I had my employment agency, you know, I was just so happy to get any client, you know. So I'd jump as high as they wanted me to jump. And I always took kind of a subservient role to my clients in the past. And so if you take your hands, I wish I had a video here, this would help, but if you put your fingers, your right hand above your left hand, right, the client was always above me and I would be below the client. And over time, I realized that always put me in a subservient place. I was always feeling like I was, you know, begging for business and hand to mouth. And I realized over time that, you know, I'm not subservient to my client. You know, I'm an important, integral part of them performing their, you know, staffing their companies. And so instead of my hand being underneath it, put your fingers so that your two fingers, right hand and left hand fingers, are touching each other. You know, I was on par with them. And when you come to the client being on par with them, as a partner with them, you know, you're providing the services, but they also need to step up as a client so that you can do your best work with them. And when they want something in too short of a time overnight, that's not allowing you to do your best work. And so when you have those partnering types of conversations with your clients, it elevates you in their eyes, and it also entrenches you more in their business. Because when you're a partner in their business, they lean on you. They treat you with more respect. And it's really cool. You can also generally charge more, but you have a better relationship over time. And so that's what I'd encourage you to do, is to flex your muscles a little bit, step into your greatness, and be a partner with them. And part of that is talking about how you'll work with them and what you will and won't allow. Was that helpful?
Totally. Thank you. Yeah. And now, you know, because I had butterflies in my stomach about wanting to work with her again, even though she's a wonderful person and she's got potential for a lot of need of my service. So I wanted to build a good relationship with her, and I just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We think that by being more subservient, that's helpful, but it really isn't. It pushes you into commodity. They don't respect you the same. It's almost like, you know, we all know I have a fox terrier, right? Tegan, my fox terrier. And I have to be the top dog, because if I don't, he's just going to run me ragged. And kind of clients do the same thing in a way. You know, not that you have to be the top dog with your clients, but you have to be on par with them. You have to be a partner with them. And, you know, you have to, you know, call the shots. I mean, they're buying from you. You teach them how to buy from you. You teach them how to work with you. And if you don't, then it's like having kids or dogs that are unruly. Well, you're going to have clients that are unruly, and then you'll have the result of that. And they'll get frustrated by you, and you'll get frustrated by them, and then it's never a good environment. So there you go.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Thanks for jumping on. It was great to have you ask a question live. And so I'm going to go back, and I put you back on mute, Danielle. I appreciate that. And if there's any other questions, star 2. I see some other people on the phone lines. You can press star 2 to raise your hand. And or otherwise, I'll go back to the Q&A box and ask Megan if we have one last question, and we'll kind of move towards wrapping up. So what was another question we had?
Yes, I do have another one here from Stan. He says, I book a decent amount of sale calls, but I'm struggling with the close. How do I transition to my offer without feeling awkward?
Wow. I wish I knew what Stan. We should put some parameters around this maybe. I wish I knew what Stan was selling. But, you know, here's the thing is, you know, when someone comes to a sales call, they're coming to explore the opportunity of working with you. And so you shouldn't be shy about talking about the opportunity of working with you. You know, selling it's easier to put it this way. Selling is really, from my perspective, all about uncovering the gap. Where the client is now, what are they currently experiencing that would cause them to want to have your services, right? What are they, you know, what are their problems? What are their challenges? What are they missing? We want to uncover that so we have a clear sense of where we can help them. And then ultimately, where does the client want to get to? You know, what's their big vision, their big goal, their big dream? What are they going towards? And when we understand those two things, there's a gap in between them usually, because people buy things to solve a problem. Whether I'm buying a car or a pair of shoes or a box of cereal, all of those things will solve a problem for me. You know, I know that sounds funny. Do shoes solve a problem? Well, you know, I might, they give me, a car gives me status or it gives me transportation. They solve different problems. Pair of shoes for me are about comfort. I'm not a shoe girl. I know some of my friends have like closets full of shoes, and I'm like, oh, I got like two pairs. You know, like I'm really basic when it comes to footwear. But you know, so we buy, my friends and I buy shoes for different reasons, but they're solving a problem for us. And so when we understand that people are looking for a solution to a problem, and it, you know, when we have a sales conversation, we can uncover what their problem is, what they're hoping to solve, you know, in buying the solution. And then you talk, think about what the solution you provide and does it align with what the client wants. And then it's really about talking about the consequence of the person not taking action, right, of staying where they're at. Because sometimes we have a problem, but we continue to live with those. I have those old shoes, and I probably should get new ones, but for whatever reason, I'm not motivated to do the work to change that. And sometimes our clients, or our prospects, I should say, are in that same scenario. You know, so what's the consequence for them not taking action? And then you have to show that you are the journey. You can get them across that gap. You can take them from where they are to where they want to be, and whether it's your process, your product, your service, what you're selling is actually the solution for them. And so when you think of selling, it's really more about serving or consulting than it is pitching your services. And so if you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, to get to the close, chances are you're kind of maybe coming from a pitching perspective. So Stan, I'd get you to kind of think about that. You know, how are you transitioning it? Because if you've just had a dialogue with the prospect about what they're challenged with and what they want, and if they didn't change or didn't take action, what would be the consequences of it, and then show them the way that you can help them, then that's, you know, that's just a conversation. You're serving them. And the other piece, too, is when we get too addicted or too entrenched on the outcome of that solution, when we, you know, we begin to look at it from a dollar perspective, maybe, and if you're short on cash, it's like, oh, it's a cash flow perspective at that point. You know, if we get too attached to the outcome, that also can tighten up the way you feel and make the sales awkward because you're desperate. And when you're desperate, no one wants to buy from you. They can, prospects can sense that for sure. So, but if you're coming from a serving perspective, it's just a conversation. You're quite literally trying to uncover the whole thing. Look at the process. Selling is not presenting or pitching. It really is about a dialogue. And come to the sales conversation as a conversation. And when you come from that perspective, I think it makes a huge difference. And I think I'm going to just call back on Danielle. I think you went through some of that, didn't you? I'm going to put you on back on mute. I'm really bringing you out today. Danielle, are you there? I just took you off mute if you are. Nope. Okay, we missed you. Anyways, but that's something to really consider. So selling is a conversation. It's being of service to someone. And if you come from that perspective, Stan, the moving towards the close shouldn't be a problem. And the other thing, too, one, a phrase that I've encouraged people to use for that transition is, you know, once you've talked about the problem, you talk about where they want to go, you've, you know, kind of thought through, is you might ask a question like, so are you committed to, you know, or how committed, you can do that way too, or how committed are you to getting this result? How committed are you to actually, you know, whatever the result is of what you're selling? And get them saying they're committed or they're not. And it's like, I believe I can help you with that. Would you like to hear how? You know, so you kind of ask permission in a roundabout way, because that's another thing, is if you ask permission to make an offer to them, then you know that they want it. You know, I believe I can help you. Are you interested in hearing about how? Most people will say yes, because they've told you they have a problem. And now, so you ask that question, and then it makes it like you feel okay because they said, yes, they want to hear from you. So that if you're kind of shy about selling or new about selling, that's another great way to make that transition. Or another way is to, I do the summary close. From what I've heard, you said this, 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 and this, and you're looking for that, that, and that. Well, I'd love to work with you because I believe I can help you. Do you want to know how? So that's another way, is to have that little summary, bring it to peace. You know, I used to do that with my proposals when I presented proposals for my employment agency, which when I sold big companies, big dollars, like we'd have several contracts that were in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, we always did a proposal. And the proposal page, the first page of my proposal was always our understanding of your needs. So I might go out on a sales call and just do a lot of fact-finding, and then I'd go back to my office, create this proposal, and then come out, and this would be my presentation to them. But that first value, that first page, our understanding of your needs, was so key, and it sold me so many clients, because they would read that, and we'd read it together. My understanding, you know, and I'd go through, well, you've got so many people working on this shift, and these are the problems, and you turn over, and, you know, whatever the problems were. And so think of your own businesses. When you have that fact-finding conversation with somebody, then you can talk about all the problems and stuff that they have, right? And you know, so you lay it all out for them, and then you also lay out what they want instead. So you talk about the problems and the solutions. And then what's really cool about that is that they'll read that, and if you've missed anything, they'll tell you. And that's the golden thing, is often, you know, selling is not really selling, it's questioning. The better you learn to ask questions and the deeper the questions you ask and don't make assumptions, the better you'll be at selling, and therefore the better you'll be at closing. Because it's just when we get to ask those great questions, and then, you know, people would read the, so I, my understanding of your needs, and they'd go, oh, well, it's also this or that, and they'd correct and they'd add. And it's like, holy cow, now I know exactly how to sell them. Now I, like, it's like they showed me all of their cards. We're playing poker, they showed me all the cards. Well, guess what? Now I know how to play against, not against them, but now I know how to play to win. So that's a great transition, too, is, you know, you can kind of do that summary and then move into making your presentation of, you know, given that you have these problems, want these solutions, this is how I feel I can best serve you. And that also is a great transition. So I hope that that answered Stan's questions about how to move towards the close and make it seamless. So a couple, just to wrap this up, is don't be too attracted. I'm having an Alzheimer's moment. Don't be so addicted. That's not the right word either. I have to say it. Don't be too attracted to the outcome. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Megan, help me with the word, please.
Are you trying to say attached?
Attached, yes. I knew it was one of those vowel-y words. Don't be so attached to the outcome. Because when we're attached to the outcome, we get tight and tense. So that's one key thing. And then make sure it's a conversation. You're just conversing with them. You're not selling them. You're serving, trying to serve them. And then try the summary. The summary really works to kind of unearth everything that you might want to unearth. Oh, my God, that was a hard word to come up with. Who would have thought that that was so tough? Anyways, so I hope that that made sense. And, Danielle, I see you raised your hand again, so I'm going to take you off mute. Are you there, Danielle?
I am, but I just wanted to say I'm sorry. I was trying to fumble with my phone, and I couldn't get there in time.
I know that feeling. I was going to brag about you, how you shifted your perspective on selling.
I have, and that's, you know what? That changed everything. When I first started working with you, I had this vision of selling being like a used car salesman. No offense to used car salesmen, but I had this perceived idea that it was dirty work, right? But when you started teaching me that it's not so much talking and pitching as much as it is listening to what they need and being that expert to support that need, it suddenly just opened up my head, and now I talk a whole different talk. I'm not afraid of selling because it's not selling. And I just want to thank you for it. It's it's completely changed the way I do business.
Yeah, you know, I'm just glowing and smiling because I'm so excited for that. Because you made my day, because that's why I do what I do, is these small shifts can be so huge in the impact. I mean, and you know, you've had some of your best months ever because mm-hmm. you're selling different and selling bigger, and that's what's possible for everyone. So thank you for that. And yeah, it's,
thank you.
It's so exciting to hear you and see your results. Thanks for joining us and coming off mute again. I'm going to put you back on that one. Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I think that wraps up all of our questions for today. And I want to thank everyone for joining us on the call. Once again, before we wrap up, I want to put this forth to you. If you are interested in seriously creating a system and a process for you, and implementation, of course, too, for you to be able to increase your revenues, as I say, almost double your revenues in the next 90 days, I want to let you know I got a new offer coming up. It's my Revenue Accelerator Program. It's a 90-day program aimed at high-performing, ambitious entrepreneurs who have something of value to sell. There's a few caveats here. You know, if you're selling $100 things, that's not going to fit. So you can't be part-time in the business. You have to be selling something of substance. But if you are serious about up-leveling your results and up-leveling your revenues, then I'm going to invite you to have a conversation with me. We'll talk about, remember, selling is just a conversation. We're going to talk all about, you know, where you are now and what's possible for you. And you could be like Danielle and like many, many other people who I've worked with who have increased and doubled and tripled and quadrupled their revenues in short periods of time. It is possible. It's easier than you think. But you do need to have a simplified system, and that's what I'm all about. So once again, I'm Sue Clement from Success Coaching. If you want to take me up on that opportunity to have a conversation, all you have to do is post in the Q&A right now. If you're listening to this after the fact, you can find me on social media, or, of course, my website is SueClement.com. Pretty simple to find. Anyways, thanks, everyone, for listening today. It was a lot of fun, great questions, and take action. If you aren't implementing, then you've kind of not used your time very wisely today, so I'm not going to say wasted it, but the whole point really is implementation is king. So get implementing. And as we go out today, I'm going to give you one of my favorite songs because this makes me feel happy and excited. And hopefully you will enjoy this little bit of outtake of music. Have a great day. And once again, come join us next Wednesday, 1 p.m., weekly Wednesdays. Next week, I think we're going to talk about how to actually convert those leads. So come join us then. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening in live or after the fact. Have a good day. I got nothing to show, just on this rope right here.